Well, last week we looked at how we are called to live a lifestyle of prayer. We have the privilege of this ongoing personal conversation with the living God. It's a sacred gift. We talked about how prayer is a sacred gift, and we're invited to engage in a conversation with God that never ends, that goes on every day, every moment of every day. We get to live in that reality. That's an amazing gift. It's an amazing blessing. But what does this conversation look like? How should we pray? How do we talk to God? Maybe you feel like the disciples felt. And now they're walking with Jesus. He's like right there. And Jesus is doing life with the Heavenly Father, and they're being wowed by the Son of God right there with them. And they're witnessing His prayer life and how He talks to God. And they ask Jesus this question. They say, "Lord, teach us to pray. Help us do this. We need help. We want this ongoing conversation. We want this kind of relationship that you have with your Heavenly Father. Teach us to pray." So we're going to continue in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, where He is going to do that for us, His disciples who are walking with Him hand in hand, arm in arm, able to do life with Him every moment of every day. We're going to allow Him, through His Sermon on the Mount, to teach us how to pray. And we're going to be in the Lord's Prayer this morning. And we're going to find that Jesus has a prescription for us, a prescription for prayer. You ready? Let's stand up. We're going to read the Lord's Prayer together. You can look up on the screen and let's go at it here. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. The Lord's Prayer. Ready to talk about that? All right, y'all can sit down. I'll stay standing up. So in this prayer, in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus gives us an example of healthy prayer, as opposed to the kind of prayer He was talking about just right before this. We talked about it last week, where He was chastising and rebuking the, quote, hypocrites who love to pray in public so that everyone else could hear so they could impress other people. He's saying, okay, you don't want to pray like that. That's not what prayer is. It's not a show. It's not about what words you say and how fancy they are and how long and how loud and what you wear. It's not all about that kind of stuff. Let's get to the heart of the matter. Here is what prayer is all about. So Jesus instructs us, His disciples, the children of God. He says, this then is how you should pray. Here is your prescription for prayer. If you ever get a prescription, I say the best one you're ever going to get is going to be from Jesus. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. You know it's going to work. It's going to bring the healing. It's going to bring the life that you're looking for. Okay, so here is Jesus' prescription for our prayer life, how we can engage in a lifestyle of prayer. He begins with this statement. He says, it's all about our Father in heaven. Our Father in heaven. It starts, our whole prayer life starts with an understanding of who we are praying to. Who are we talking to? We're having a conversation with God. If we don't know who God is, then we're going to have frustration and a rough time with our prayer life. And so Jesus just sets it all out there. He says, when you pray, pray like this: our Father in heaven. When we have a proper perspective of God, when we have a proper understanding of our Father in heaven, then our lifestyle of prayer is going to be natural. It's going to be comfortable. It's going to be pleasant and pleasing and something that we're going to run to every day and all day long. So who is God? He is our Father. our Father. Jesus says that when we pray, God is our Father. This is an awesome concept that we're going to grasp. We're going to dive into a little bit right off the bat here. Okay, I was reading this, that 14 times in the Old Testament, God is called Father. 14 times. However, it's always done to refer to God as being the Father of the nation of Israel. It's a figurehead kind of a title of Father, Father of the nation of Israel. But then in the Gospels, Jesus talks about God and prays to God as Father 60 times just in the Gospels. In fact, there's no prayer in the Bible until Jesus comes along where people pray to God as their Father, their personal Father. What's referred to in Scripture as Abba, as your Abba Father. And so, like everything else, Jesus takes everything to a whole nother level. See, what Jesus is doing with prayer is what he's done with everything else that we've talked about. Every other topic that he's addressed in the Sermon on the Mount, he's saying, look, you kind of understand this, and you're trying really hard to connect with God and to be believers and to please the Lord, but I want to take everything to a whole nother level. I want us to get God's heart with everything, and so this really matters that you understand who you're praying to. Not just a figurehead. Not just God on the throne, the figurehead, the King God, but no, I want you to understand that when you pray, you are praying to your Abba, your personal Father, your daddy. Jesus instructs us to approach God and relate to him in our personal prayers as Father, as Abba, as our daddy, just like a little kid coming to their daddy. It's supposed to be our lifestyle of prayer. It's supposed to be how we're approaching God. Why does it matter? I mean, prayer is prayer, right? Doesn't matter. Just go through the motions, get her done, and that's what we're supposed to do. But it does matter. And Jesus is starting the whole lesson on prayer with this reality about who God is. It matters because Jesus wants us to understand that God is not impersonal. So our prayer life is not impersonal. He wants us to understand that God is not some faceless force out there that we cry out to and hope that he moves in power on our behalf and that the force is with us. And so we pray for the force to be with us. That's not God. He is powerful and he can be very forceful. But he's our Abba. God is not far away. Rather, that God is full of love. He's involved in our lives. Because we are his children and he cares for us. He has deep feeling and jealousy for us. Deep care and concern and compassion and mercy and grace for us because we are his children and he is our daddy, our Abba Father, our Father in heaven. All this talk about God being our daddy, our Father, and our Abba is probably freaking some of you out right now. Making you feel a little uncomfortable. What is Eric doing? I thought he was this big, tall, strong pastor guy and he wasn't going to get all mushy and gushy on us. But you're probably feeling, some of you maybe a little uncomfortable, maybe more the male species in the room, you know, and I hope you're feeling uncomfortable. Because if you're feeling uncomfortable, you need to feel uncomfortable because you need to be drawn to the reality that God is your heavenly Father and he has strong feelings for you of love. He wants you to know that so that when you approach him, you're approaching him from that perspective. God is a loving Father, and prayer is a gift so that we can enjoy him and enjoy our ongoing conversation with our heavenly Daddy.
And so this understanding of God as a loving Father, as our Abba Daddy, will revolutionize your prayer life. It really will. It'll take it to a whole nother level. And as we continue to talk about prayer this morning and get Jesus' perspective and his heart for us, for our prayer life, I want you to allow yourself to be vulnerable with God. If you can't be vulnerable with your Creator, with your Savior, with the one who hung on a cross with his arms wide open, nailed to wood, that's vulnerability. Who was that vulnerable for you? That he gave us everything. Who can you be vulnerable with? Be vulnerable with God even right now as you're processing this whole concept and reality of your prayer life and your relationship with him. So what kind of things should we say to God when we talk to him? How do we relate to our heavenly Daddy? Here's how Jesus answers that question. Here is Jesus' prescription to that. The first prescription is this. How do we relate? How do we talk to him with adoration and thanksgiving? You've probably heard these prescriptions before. Maybe not as prescriptions, but as points, as prayer points, as you look and you study the Lord's Prayer. This is how Jesus says to relate to your heavenly Daddy. With adoration and thanksgiving. Our Father in heaven, what does Jesus say? He says to say this to him, hallowed be your name. Heavenly Daddy, Heavenly Father, holy is your name. Adoration, it's worship. It's praising God for who he is. Oh God, you are good. You are holy. You are king. You're above all things. There is no one like you. You alone sit on the throne. You are my everything. You're my provider. Without you, I'm lost. Without you, I'm nothing. But in you, oh God, I'm a child of yours. I've got it all in you. You are holy. You are above everything. I exalt your name, God. Adoration and worship. Have a conversation with your heavenly Father in that way. That's Jesus' first prescription. In fact, in this type of prayer that we all need to engage in as we are engaging in a lifestyle of prayer, which isn't just a once in a while thing or a couple times a day thing, but an ongoing continual thing, as the Apostle Paul told us in 1 Thessalonians. Worship and praise, actually even singing to God, is an amazing way, an amazing prescription that Jesus is giving us right here. Do you sing to God? I think of the Revelation song when I think of Jesus saying, here's how you pray. Holy, holy, holy. This is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything and I will adore you. We get to talk to God that way. We can sing to him. We can just speak it out. We can yell it out. We can declare that, God, you're holy. And when we start making that an ongoing part of our lives, our priorities start to fall in place. See, Jesus understands us. He understands what we need. You see, you think, oh, prayer is just one directional. Man, prayer changes you. It reprograms your very heart, your very mind. And as you start adoring your heavenly Father, as you start worshiping him and praising him, your very perspective on life begins to change. And you see that God is holy. He is righteous. He's on the throne and he's for you. So what about all this other stuff? It'll give you peace. Coming into agreement with God's way of living, as we're seeing throughout the Sermon on the Mount. Coming into agreement with God's way of thinking and living will give you peace and it'll put everything in place for you. If you're living a life that you feel like things are all over the place, you can't find peace, you can't find joy. I talked about it last week. I was open with you and I talked about how I was in the stinking pit. The way out of the pit was not to figure it out with my brain. And to go running and getting myself busy with hobbies and all this other kind of stuff. The world says, oh, you just need a hobby. You just need to go golfing. You just need to, you know, whatever. I don't know what it might be. But you know the way out of the pit? Prayer. Adoration. Praise. Thanksgiving. Looking to my heavenly Daddy.
the Holy One who sits on the throne and has got it all under control, and I'm His child, I'm His boy. That's the way out of the pit. Adoration and thanksgiving. The first prescription that Jesus has for our prayer life. It's no accident that we start our services even here on Sundays and a lot of our gatherings together with praise and worship. Why? Because we just go through the motions? No, because we're following Jesus' prescription for entering into a conversation with our Heavenly Father with adoration and thanksgiving. The second prescription for prayer is affirmation. So Jesus says to pray to your Heavenly Father, your Abba, and say, Abba, your kingdom come. Your kingdom come, Abba. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What's Jesus telling us to do there? He's instructing us. He's prescribing for us. And telling us to come into agreement with God's will and to submit to it. Affirmation, affirming God's kingdom, affirming His will in our life and in our land. Praying like Jesus means that we're acknowledging that God is a Father, as we've talked about, but He's also a King and He has a kingdom. And we are desperate for the King to bring His kingdom to this earth because we're living in a kingdom right now that's controlled by sin and yuck and evil, and it's distorted and it's messing people's lives up. It's bringing death. That's what the kingdom of this world is bringing. And so we are desperate for God to bring His kingdom and to kick the kingdom of this world out. Not to just cozily coexist. I don't buy that. I don't buy that the church is just supposed to exist with the world and get all mushy-mushy with it so that the world will be attracted to us because they think we're kind of like them. No, that's not what Jesus is saying here. He's saying, pray, cry out, prayers of affirmation, affirming that God's kingdom is the kingdom that we desire and we want His kingdom to come, which means there's no room for any other kingdom. There's only one King, there's only one kingdom, and we're saying, we're yours, God. Bring it. Bring it. And so we pray prayers of affirmation, crying out to God, God, we want to experience your kingdom right here, right now. We want our lives to align with your kingdom, God. Now it's getting personal. You bring the kingdom of God and His heart, His desire, His ways, things in our lives are going to have to kind of go, whoop, gone. See ya. But God does not disappoint. Don't hold on to anything at the cost of missing what God has for you. Don't do it. Don't do it. So we pray. We earnestly pray, God, your kingdom come. Your lordship come, God, in my life. Your lordship come in my family, in my marriage. We're crying out prayers of affirmation. God, I affirm that you are the king of my finances. You are the king of my marriage. You are the king of my schedule. You're the king of my life. Bring it, God. Bring it. And pray it like you mean it. Pray it because you mean it. And you'll see things transform. And when the Prince of Peace brings His kingdom, what's the result? Peace. 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 Even in the midst of a storm. We still live in a broken world. Storms are still going to be swirling around out there. But we're going to have peace. Because we've affirmed His kingdom, His lordship in our lives. Your will be done. This reminds us that prayer is not about trying to make God do something. We got to understand that. We can't fall into that trap. Thinking that we're praying, trying to manipulate the King of the universe to perform. God's will be done. Your will, Father, be done. See, prayer is about us aligning our will and our lives with God.
That's Jesus' prescription for us for prayer. And notice how all of this, yeah, it's about prayer, which we always think it means that this is stuff we talk and speak. Talk, 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 talk. Now I got to get busy with my other stuff. No, no. When we come into agreement with praying this way, with having this kind of ongoing conversation with God, where a lot of it, I would say most of it should be, we better be listening. Because he's got a lot better things to say than you do. I'm just sorry. I'm just telling you right now. I've talked to most of you in this room many times, and my Heavenly Father makes a lot more sense than most of y'all, okay? So a lot of prayer, most of prayer needs to be listening to him, all right? See what I'm saying? So when we're doing that, we're asking him to speak to us for his will to be done. Not us forcing our will on him and getting him to perform to do what we want. But it's us getting his heart, hearing his plans, and coming into agreement with his will for our lives, for our family, for our community. And saying yes, affirming his will in our lives. Look, we aren't trying to pull God into our world. Well, some of us are. We shouldn't be trying to pull God into our world. Rather, we should be crying out for his world to invade our world. That's Jesus' prescription. Ask God to have his world invade your world and just watch what happens. E. Stanley Jones, a Methodist missionary and theologian, had this to say. I thought this was really cool and clever. Prayer is surrender. Surrender to the will of God and cooperation with that will. Now check this out. If I throw out a boat hook from the boat and catch hold of the shore and pull, you get that picture? You got a boat hook, you're throwing it, you grab the shore, and you start pulling, right? Now check this out. Do I pull the shore to me, or do I pull myself to the shore? Prayer is not pulling God to my will, but aligning my will to the will of God. That's prayer. That's Jesus' prescription right there. So that's a prayer of affirmation. Are you praying prayers of affirmation throughout the day? Resetting everything, making sure it's all about God's kingdom and his will happening. Because when it really is all about that, look out, man. Look out. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be good. The third prescription for prayer is petition and intercession. Petition and intercession. Again, Jesus says, pray to your heavenly Father, our Father in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. I find it interesting he's using the word our now in the corporate sense. Again, thinking of others. Give us today our daily bread. This is the principle of supplication. Supplication. We use that word all the time, don't we, in our daily talk? Anyway, I'm just kidding. It's this principle of supplication. Here's the definition of supplication. It's the action of asking or begging for something earnestly and humbly. That's this prescription of petition and intercession. We are invited to participate in supplication with our Heavenly Father. We're invited to take action in this thing called prayer and ask and beg even for something earnestly and humbly. Jesus is inviting us to do that. That's pretty cool. It's where we make requests of our loving Heavenly Father who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. It's all his. He's got plenty of it. I was about to get really political there and talk about how it's not just like one pie that only has that much and we got to all slice it up and somebody gets more and somebody gets cheated. That's a political statement for those of you who know where I'm going with that. But I'm going to stop right there and say, God has more than enough for everyone. And he can make more of it. You know what I'm saying? He can make more of it. You know, he's a creator. He's really good at it. You know, he's a provider. He's really good at that too. Do you know that he's a healer? He's good at that. He's good. And he cares. So prayer is not just about our spiritual stuff, as Jesus is opening up here in this petition and intercession of give us today our daily bread. Prayer is also can be about the physical needs that we have, the real life physical things going on in our lives. What are our needs? God wants to meet our needs, both spiritual and physical. He created us as spiritual and physical beings. He cares about both. I read this little story in a publication called Today in the Word. That's a good name for a publication. I call it the Bible. But anyway, Today in the Word. And here's what this little story says. It says, in its early days, Dallas Theological Seminary was in critical need of $10,000 to keep the work going. During a prayer meeting, renowned Bible teacher Harry Ironside, which I love his writing. I've got a lot of his commentary up on my shelf in my office at home. But Harry Ironside, a lecturer at the school at the time, prayed this. He said, "Lord, you own the cattle on a thousand hills." I think he probably even said it a little louder and more dramatic than that. I mean, he's one of those old school, you know, preachers. I mean, I won't try to do it. I can't even go there. I can't match it. "But Lord, you own the cattle on a thousand hills." And then he said this. He asked this of God. He said, "Please sell some of those cattle to help us meet this need." Hey, he's getting practical. He's getting real. Shortly after the prayer meeting, a check for $10,000 arrived at the school. Sent days earlier, he already knows, but he still calls us to come into agreement and to pray and ask. Even though he already knows, he's already at work. He wants to get us on board with him. He wants to know that we're cooperating with his kingdom and his will. Okay, so it was sent days earlier, this check for $10,000, by a friend who had no idea of the urgent need or of Ironside's prayer. The man simply said the money came from the sale of his cattle. See, God has a sense of humor. He's awesome, isn't he? God knows. He knows even before we ask, and he cares. He cares about the real practical things going on in our lives. And sometimes he'll have somebody sell some cows to meet our needs. You never know. Do you ask? Jesus is saying ask. Dee, you were talking about that earlier today. Just want to ask. Let's ask. We have not because we ask not. Jesus says, don't have not because you ask not. Ask. Petition and intercession. Do it earnestly and humbly in supplication. Beg if you need to beg. It's okay. The fourth prescription for prayer is confession. So Jesus is saying, hey, do all those things, but also, have you thought about this one? Have you engaged in this kind of prayer also? Confession, our Father in heaven, O Abba Father, forgive us our debts. Forgive us our sins as we also have forgiven our debtors, those who have sinned against us. Prayers of confession. Interestingly enough, I think it's really cool. Jesus never had to pray that prayer that he's telling the disciples to pray. Because as it says in Hebrews, that Jesus, you know, though tempted in every way, was without sin, right? So he never had to pray, forgive me my sins, because that wouldn't make any sense. So, you know, it's called the Lord's Prayer, but we got to understand why it's called the Lord's Prayer. It's not because Jesus had to pray this prayer. Jesus prayed these kind of things. He spoke. He had this ongoing conversation with his heavenly Father. But this particular prayer of confession, he didn't have to pray, but he is encouraging us to pray. How many of you need to pray prayers of confession? How many of you have been tempted in every way, yet have fallen into some sin in your life and missed the mark? Here we are, Lord. Here we are, Lord. We're in desperate need for God's forgiveness. And Jesus says, bring that stuff to your heavenly Father, to your Abba. Don't hide it. Don't run around thinking that you're going to, you know, putting the fig leaves on over yourself and running away from God and pretending that you're going to hide it from him and just kind of go on like, I know it's bad, but, you know, yeah, I don't want to bring that yuck before my heavenly Father. What's he going to say? What's he going to do? You know what he's going to say? If you bring it before him and you say, God, I'm sorry, take it. He's going to say, I got it. You're forgiven. It's gone. I love you. You're my child. And as Jesus said, now go sin no more. Which some of us look at that and we go, oh, bummer. No, like, go live an amazing life free from that garbage that's been tormenting you. Go sin no more. Go enjoy freedom now. You're forgiven. Go jump, hop, and skip. How many of you know that when your kids have done something wrong and they haven't experienced and processed the confession and forgiveness thing, that they run around just, they're not full of a pure joy. But once they've processed their sin with you as their parent, and you've come alongside of them and you've corrected them in a loving way, and then you've sent them off knowing that they're forgiven and that your relationship is secure and good and full of love, they walk off. My kids walk away from those experiences like, woo, like it's birthday time, something like it's party time. That's how it is when we engage with this prescription that Jesus is giving us, this thing called confession. And when we take those shortcomings, sins, and other things to Him, and we confess them, and we lay them at His feet, He's faithful just to forgive us, to cleanse us, to wash us, to encourage us and to send us on our way, skipping and jumping and singing. He's your heavenly daddy who loves you perfectly. Perfectly. Jesus also encourages us to pray for our enemies. We talked about that a few weeks back when He was preaching to us and saying, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. And He tells us to forgive those who've sinned against us. Because forgiveness is a big deal to God. A big deal. He has forgiven us for so much. I mean, you want to know how big of a deal forgiveness is to God? Look at the cross. Look at the cross. What happened on the cross? Jesus, the Son of God, who was sent from heaven, hung on the cross after being beaten, whipped, ripped open, bleeding, pierced, hanging on the cross because forgiveness is a big deal to God. It's a huge deal to God. And we ought to be grateful that forgiveness is such a big deal. And because it's such a big deal with God, it's got to be a big deal with us. And that's why Jesus follows up with this statement. In Matthew 6, verses 14 and 15, He says, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, this is after telling you to ask God to forgive you. He says, and so if you forgive men when they've sinned against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Now that's the Word of God. You can come up with all kinds of theology and doctrines and different ways you want to look at things. But these are the words of Jesus in red in my Bible. I just love the red letter ones. Just simplifies it for an old Midwestern boy like me. And God's Word says what it says. And it says what it says because it's truth. And it leads us into righteousness and goodness. And into wholeness. We got to forgive. Jesus says we won't be forgiven. Forgiveness is not optional or something to be left to another day. It's just not. Doesn't mean that's easy. Doesn't mean that we're going to ever really necessarily want to do it until our hearts are further transformed by Him. But it's something that we have to engage in. It's something that, by God's grace, He has engaged in and continues to engage in. And He's saying, you who have been forgiven, forgive. Forgive. And keep asking Me to forgive you, and I will. And keep offering and giving forgiveness to others. It's just God's way. That's God's way. God doesn't hold offense and hold sin over us. He says, no, I've forgiven you. It's as far as the east is from the west. It's gone. It's gone. He says, now you who have experienced that, who are My children, whose hearts are transformed, who are new creations now in Christ Jesus, you do the same thing. And let's watch this world change. Let's see My kingdom come out of that kind of generous, loving action. However, forgiving someone doesn't mean that we got to endorse or accept what they do. I just want to make sure I point these things out as we're talking about forgiveness. We're not saying that what they did was okay. We're not saying that we are going to accept them doing it to us any longer, and we're going to allow ourselves to continue to be in a position where we can be abused or hurt. But yet we forgive. Yet we extend forgiveness to them. And as we're on the topic of forgiveness, I just want to say that when we practice forgiveness, it keeps us away from that bitter root of bitterness. And it keeps us out of a prison. You know, unforgiveness puts us in a prison. Forgiveness is the key that releases us from that prison. So Jesus says, in your conversation with your Heavenly Father who's forgiven you, who loves you, keep going to Him with any shortcoming and keep forgiving others and experience peace and freedom. The fifth prescription, the last one, the fifth prescription for prayer that Jesus gives us is renewal. Renewal. And He says, when you're talking to your Abba Father, your Heavenly Daddy, I'm going to keep using that word daddy because it's just driving some of you in here crazy. I love it. When you talk to your Heavenly Daddy, interact with Him this way. Say, Heavenly Daddy, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. You see, Satan, demons, evil, sin, all that stuff, it's real. The world is filled with it. You know that. Turn on the television, it's right in your face. Do life for more than a couple seconds, and you're going to encounter all of this stuff. We can pray for forgiveness, and we're invited to, and we're encouraged to, and we have to. But we can also be offensive in our prayers, meaning we can go after the sin and the evil before it even gets to us, before we fall into it. We can come into agreement with God's desire and His plan and the reality of the freedom that we now have in Christ Jesus to live apart from that sin and not allow the temptation of the world, of the evil, and even of our flesh to draw us into sin in the first place. And so Jesus says, cry out to your Heavenly Father and ask Him for help. Ask Him to help you stay away from that garbage, to not engage in it. Cry out to Him because He's got plenty for you that will help you. He's strong enough for you. And even coming into the action, someone say, well, why do I have to pray for that? I'm a new creation. I've got God's grace. I can just walk in freedom. Yes, and yes, and yes, and yes, and yes. But there's something about, on the front of your mind, processing this at all times with your Heavenly Father. Always saying, you know what? There's a bunch of garbage out there, but God, You are good. You're for me. I say, Holy Spirit, I pray this every morning. Holy Spirit, I choose to walk by You and with You today and not by my flesh. Come, lead me. I want to have ears for You and eyes for You and You only today. I don't want any of that garbage. Keep me away from it. That's my paraphrased version of what Jesus is telling me to pray here in this prayer of renewal. And when I do that, what am I doing? I'm setting my heart, my mind, my very life, my very day on the things of God so that I don't engage in that garbage. If I don't, it's just kind of out there and, man, it can blindside you. Next thing you know, bam! So we process all of this stuff all day long with God. Man, we're always talking with God and it's renewing our mind as we're talking with Him. And I want to encourage you, be in the Word of God, because when you pray, you're going to find yourself praying God's truth in His Word and speaking that over your life. You do life with me, Carlos. It just happens. It's going to come out in the sermon. So Carlos sent me a text the other day and said, hey man, would you pray for me for this thing? And so I just started praying for him, and all that was coming out was Scripture, truth from Scripture. And so I just texted him back these truths that he knows, man. He's a man of God. He knows all this stuff. But man, we just need to keep hearing it and saying it and processing it so that our mind continues to be renewed and washed by the Word so that we walk in wholeness and cleanliness for God. I mean, that's life. And so our prayer life is the same thing. We're praying these things and processing real life with God all the time so we stay in right standing, right relationship, and just right thinking at all times as the world's coming at us like crazy. I want to point out that our Heavenly Father never tempts us. Some people have that, you know, why did God do this to me? Why did He put me in that situation? Why did He let this happen to me? La, la, la. And we start blaming God for our own sin and for the evil that's in the world. I want to encourage us not to do that. It says in James 1, verses 13 and 14, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. See, Jesus is saying, go to God and ask Him to help you when temptation comes. Apostle James is saying, don't blame God when you're tempted, because God doesn't tempt us. No, the way this all happens is that each one of us is tempted by when our own evil desire drags us, entices us, and draws us into sin. God doesn't tempt us. He's our deliverer from that. And Jesus is saying, here's the prescription. Go to Him and ask Him for help all the time, man. Part of your ongoing conversation is like, I need you. I need you. Help me. Pour it out, God. Pour it out. Give it to me. John Bunyan, I like this quote about prayer. He says, prayer will make a man cease from sin, or sin will entice a man to cease from prayer. Which side are you on? Think about that. Think about that. Prayer of renewal. It's our acknowledgement that we need God fighting for us, and we're coming into agreement, grabbing hold of Him every day at all times. So, Jesus' prescriptions for prayer. Encourage us and teach us to live a lifestyle of prayer. I want to encourage you to go back through the Sermon on the Mount, but particularly the Lord's Prayer from this perspective. Each one of these pieces, each one of these prescriptions that Jesus has given you to interact with your heavenly daddy. And I want you to practice it even over the next week. A couple times a day. Process this. You might have to get up a little bit earlier. If you're a teenager, even on Saturday maybe, get up a little bit earlier so that you got time to process this. And then do it again during the day. I want you to go through the Lord's Prayer and look at each one of these prescriptions, each one of these five ways to interact with your heavenly daddy, your Abba Father. And go through this. Try God. See if the words of Jesus are true. That if you start having this conversation, and I'm not saying just do it once and go, oh, everything should change. I mean, come on, invest in it. Do you trust God? He gave His life. Give some time. Do things God's way. You're going to see amazing things as a result. I want to encourage you also to really look at God as your Father, your Heavenly Father, your Abba Father, your Daddy who loves you. When you pray, to get away from that kind of that rote thing that we do, then we just going through the motions and we're praying to God, but we're really not even really realizing who we're praying to. If you're able to even visualize Him as a heavenly daddy with arms open, with a smile on His face. Just thrilled that you're talking with Him. I know there are some in this room that didn't have that experience of a loving earthly daddy. And sometimes that can get in the way and cloud our perspective of our heavenly Father. And so you hear God and you hear Jesus referring to God as your heavenly daddy, your Abba. You know that the Lord can heal you. And can help you see Him as your heavenly daddy who truly loves you. He can bring that healing and give you that right perspective. Continue to go to Him and ask Him to reveal Himself to you. To heal past hurts and wounds. And He will. Men and women, we're not perfect. And men and women can hurt people. But your heavenly Father, your Abba Father, He heals us. He heals us and restores. Keep going to Him in supplication, earnestly asking Him, if that's you, to do that in your heart and in your life. Let's stand up.